I'm Beatrice, your host of the Let's Talk Relationships podcast. Join me and my guests as we explore all things related to singleness, dating, and relationships. Together, we'll hear from real, everyday people and a few professionals and their experiences with self-growth, heartbreak, modern-day dating, and so much more. Thanks for tuning in. And if you're here for the long haul, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to Let's Talk Relationships. Today, I brought back one of my dear friends, Alexia Holovatic, and we're so excited to have her back, Dr. Alexia Holovatic. We're excited to have her back because today we're going to be talking about a very relevant topic that I'm seeing kind of all over the internet right now, but it's so real. And we're going to be talking about why are we so attracted to unavailable people, emotionally unavailable people, people that are maybe more toxic for us, and people that are just not right for us. Why is that? So I'm excited to dive into this topic. Alexia, hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me back on.
Of course. You were my first thought. I was listening to some podcasts about this, and I was like, we have to talk about this, because what it segues into, it's not only why are we attracted to unavailable, is why are we not attracted to what we say we want? Why are we not attracted or excited about someone healthy and consistent, you know? And so I feel like this is a very, very relevant topic to talk about, because I do feel like a lot of us struggle with this, and I don't think we necessarily realize it. I think if we're not really conscious of that in our life and conscious of maybe our attachment theory, like we talked about in our past episode, if you don't recognize that and you don't understand that, sometimes I think we have a tendency to go for people who are just not right for us, because one, it could be hot chemistry. It could be a crazy spark. It could be the chase. It could be someone who's maybe not giving us the attention, but we want it because it's like a challenge for us. It could be all these things that are just bringing up all these red flags within us, or sparking all this, you know, insecurity within us, and making them more desirable than maybe someone who is healthy, consistent, probably way better for us, better matches for us in terms of long-term marriage, relationships, things like that. So that's where we're going to go with this. So I'd love to hear initially your thoughts of, as a simple way we can answer it, but why do you think that we tend to be attracted to what's not good for us?
Well, you know, you referenced like our past episode on just understanding what your attachment theory is and letting that kind of help and guide you in dating. And it's what I love about the dating process is that it uncovers so many layers of self-awareness for us.
Yeah.
And it's like each time we think we have something figured out, there's something new that kind of comes up. Like it's this, it's such a stage for personal growth that you could literally just use to really like understand yourself. And so this topic that you're bringing up is like, you know, I said I wanted like these like qualities in a partner, and now I've found these qualities in a partner, and maybe they're super there and available for me. And for whatever reason, I'm just not feeling it, and like what's going on there, and like really wanting to understand that more. And I think it could be like a couple of different things. Sorry, if you see or hear my dog, he's just like nestled on my lap. He just jumped up there. So he's with us today.
He's joining us with this heartfelt conversation.
Yeah, always the little therapy assistant dog.
I love it.
You know, but first, like, I don't, like, one, there's, like, so many things that could be happening, and it's so
Absolutely.
Different for each person. But one thing that I want to just start off with is that, you know, you're not necessarily meant to date every nice, consistent person that kind of comes across your dating field. And just because someone's interested in you and they're really nice and they're really consistent, there's a lot that goes into wanting to spend your life with somebody, and that's Absolutely. Not easy to find. And so I just want to like put that on the table straight away, because I think what tends to happen, especially with people who are very like self-reflective and like really like all about that inner work, is that it's easy to kind of point the finger to like, what's wrong with me? Why aren't I attracted to this quote unquote healthy person? Mm-hmm. And I just want to like put that out there, like first and foremost, is that if there is no like initial, like you don't feel like, how do you feel when you're with this person? Is your body drawn to them? Is there like a desire to be close to them? Is there like an interest and a curiosity mm-hmm. about that person? And if the answer is no, kind of like right off the bat, and you go out with them again, and it's the same and it's consistent, that there's like, also it's what's a possibility is that it's not pathological at all, that you're not attracted to every quote unquote healthy situation or person, right? So that's like one thing. I think another possibility too is, well, there's a lot, but I'll kind of like highlight a couple, right? If you are like, you're like, actually, like I go out with this person, we have a great time. There is this like, like baseline attraction there. I think there's like two things. Like one is just generally in society, we're often taught to kind of value things that are deemed exclusive more and
it's true.
Taught to like devalue things that are just like widely available and open, right? Like if there's like this, like, it could be like the same piece of furniture and like one is in this like really high-end store and it has like a high price tag. You might have to work really hard to get it, save your money. It could be the same piece of furniture on the side of the road and you're like, ooh, I don't want that.
Yeah.
Right. So sometimes it's just this like perception of availability and how hard you have to work to get something that it's a little bit flipped on its head in the dating world, right?
Yeah.
Because in the dating world, you don't want to have to work too hard to get somebody's like time, attention, validation, admiration.
Yeah.
So it's just, I think, like rewiring that a little bit, like to not think of this like exclusivity as something or somebody that is maybe like not that available. There's a tendency to want to just put a higher value on them. And I think like what's important to remember is like the difference there is like, we're not shopping for shoes. We're not shopping for furniture. We're not joining like an exclusive club. Like we're talking about a person.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that is like the main difference there. We're talking about like a connection and how does this person make us feel?
Yeah. And I also wonder too, with kind of that connection with essentially consumerism and that higher value because they're less available or more difficult to get. I've been reading some articles recently about that perceived, like, I have to work for love. I have to work for someone to want to choose me and to love me and all that, which I think can be tied into kind of our attachments and what, you know, could be tied into childhood. But I wonder if that plays a part in it also. Like, this when it's so available, you're like, this is weird. Like, why? And you start to second guess it when someone is just like, no, I'm just into you and I want to pursue you and I like you. Like, it's that simple. Like, you don't have to fight to get me, you know? Like, I'm here, I'm interested. And it's essentially what we want. Like, we do want someone like that. Why would we want to try super hard to be with someone, you know? But then I think something in us, like you were saying, tells us, but why is this so easy? Like, why is this so available? And it almost becomes a turnoff in some ways.
Yeah.
You know, and I wonder, like, from your perspective, what is that in us that does that, you know, that when they sense someone's available and it's, I don't have to work for this, you know, because like for me, I think what I've learned in like being a little bit more on the anxious side is, although it's funny because sometimes I see an avoidant side coming out in this situation also, is when they're so available, I'm like, I'm good. I want to go run for the hills. but I think that's part of it. It's like, but wait, I don't have to work for this. So that's weird. And I don't know what to do with this, you know? And it does make me want to bolt sometimes, you know, feeling like when someone's way too into me or way too available. It's like, I wonder, like, what is that?
Yeah. Well, and I don't, again, like, it's so different for everybody, but like, maybe just like a general hypothesis, and I don't know about you, but for me, when somebody is like, especially like what if you have like these, like whatever they are, like this baseline, like part of you that questions whether certain parts of you are lovable, acceptable, worthy of this like unconditional like love and acceptance,
yeah,
when somebody, so you're questioning that yourself and you meet somebody who mirrors that in terms of their own unavailability, that like checks out, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, of course, this person is unavailable and there's parts about me that aren't lovable. And so this fits my mold of like what I expect. Mm-hmm. Right. And on the inverse, if somebody is, if you have that like image of yourself is like questioning whether certain parts of you are lovable or not, or worthy. And then somebody is just like showing up and is like, no, I just like you. And I'm like, I'm here for this. I'm in. There's like, I think maybe a part of your brain that it just, it doesn't fit the model that you have. And so it kind of gets turned to like, well, what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. Right. Because if I'm flawed and I have these flaws and you like me and you're here for it, maybe there's something wrong with you too.
Yeah. And it becomes, I think when someone's like, no, I like you for you and accept you, it can be overwhelming for your system. You're just like, you know, and it's funny, I was listening back to our podcast episode on attachment theory, and you had actually mentioned that. There's a whole section in there where you talk about, like, once you actually get that, sometimes you get, like, the thing that you want, or you get the attention and the thing consistently, and which is what you need, it's overwhelming for you because you're not used to getting it, you know?
Did I talk about backdraft in that episode?
We did not.
I mean, if not, I think it's like worth mentioning again. Yeah. But sometimes when there's like, when there's a fire and you talk about backdraft, so there's like, if there's a fire and it's been deprived of oxygen for so long, and then let's say you open a door and oxygen swoops into the room, there's like almost this like explosion that happens, mm-hmm. right? Because like this element that was missing for so long is like entering the environment and creating this really big reaction or like an explosion. And so sometimes like that can happen with like love or compassion too.
Yeah.
Like this, if that has felt like maybe you have been like dating for a while and you're like, where's my person? And this like unconditional like love and acceptance has felt really absent for a while, that introducing that into the system, whether it's like this like just like this unconditional acceptance, it like reacts, it almost like ignites this spark.
Yeah.
Right. Where we're like, we're not used to having this in the system, and it's a lot to have it there. And yeah, of course, like it's a good thing, but there can be this like temporary, almost like reaction, if you will, where it just like creates a little bit of a fire and not in a way that feels good in the system.
Yeah. And good and normal. And I think a lot of that times we kind of want to reject it because we're like, oh, this doesn't feel right. And so then it makes me think like, and again, I'm generalizing all this. So for everyone listening, this is not saying everyone goes for unavailable people. I'm saying for those of you like me who has figured this out, that do tend to go for unavailable people. I realized this recently in my life. So I'm talking to you people, okay? but I think just to be vulnerable, something I've realized recently in terms of being more attracted to people who are unavailable or sometimes toxic, but mostly unavailable, I realized is the trend, is there was always an out for me. Like deep down, my subconscious knew there was one thing that I'm like, that would be my out. But then I would let myself go all in, knowing like subconsciously I think I knew that there was an easy way for me to get out, you know? And so I would let myself, and it doesn't, not to say that these people that I dated were toxic or let's say bad in general. They just weren't ready to date. They weren't available. We weren't a good match, or we just weren't, or just many, many reasons. They're just not available to me, not available to be in a relationship, anything healthy. And I would find myself, I would fall for them and I would like fall hard. And I'm like knowing that there was some little thing that I was like, this isn't, you know, because I think to me it reiterated that story. One, it gave me an out. So, and I realized like there's just fears in me that I have of the thing that I want. There's fears of the thing, of the great relationship, of meeting my person. It's all these fears of change. My life's going to be different. Like, am I ready for that? Like, do I want to give up my single life? Like, do there's just there's so much wrapped into that. And I didn't totally realize that until I met someone more healthy. And so all that kind of came up. And so I just wonder if like other people feel that way, where they look back and they're like, I'm more attracted to people that I know are not good for me, or I know that are not right, and are no, you know, because they do reiterate a story. They reiterate what I'm used to. They reiterate, like, you know, they it also allows me
and
not
it's
to
safer.
It's safer.
You can risk less.
Yes. Absolutely.
Because like you said, you know, there's like a limit or maybe like a cap on how deep you can go with these people. So yes. It feels safe to go all in. Because it's like contained, mm-hmm. and maybe there's like an unknown aspect to going all in with someone who is available, and almost feel like there's not a container, there's not like a ceiling on it, and so it feels a little, it could feel a little untethered.
Yeah.
And like a leap, right? A leap into something that feels a little unknown, and this has the potential to be really beautiful, but also really hurt. And I think, so what you're saying, it actually, I was actually going to suggest like a really concrete thing that you could do, and you kind of touched on it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you are on one hand, you're saying, I want this relationship with this type of person, and then you find it and you're noticing yourself having like an unexpected reaction. One thing you can do is just like set a timer and journal. Okay, so I say I really want an intimate relationship, let me list all of the reasons that I want that. Why do I want a relationship in the first place? Set your timer, whatever it is, 2-5 minutes, list out all the reasons. And then set a timer again and list out all the reasons that maybe you don't really want. What are the reasons you wouldn't want?
That's great.
A long-term intimate relationship. And just compare. You know, maybe you, at first you might say like, no, I want a relationship. It's silly. I'm not going to be able to come up with anything, but just try it, right? Like put your pen to the paper and then just like compare the list, and you might be surprised with what comes up, or you might be surprised at like which list has more things. And maybe there are some fears, like you said, that are, you weren't even like aware of, they're a little more under the surface that are coming up with that.
I think that's great advice. And I think that for all y'all listening, I think that's really awesome to do. And I had read someone else had said to write, I think it was actually very similar to that. I was just listening to a similar podcast. But I love that. And I think that's super helpful to at least process those the feelings of like the fears, like, and kind of help kind of disarm some of them too, you know? And I, so.
Yeah. Or just bringing them to your awareness, because if they're not in your awareness, if they're not in your conscious, you can't do anything with them.
Yeah.
Like once they're kind of like in your, like plane of consciousness, they're not driving the ship anymore, right? And like, and they could just be open, they can be on the table, but they're not kind of maybe steering some of your decisions in an unconscious way.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this makes me wonder too. It's like, you know, I think a lot of people I talk to were in like late 20s, early to mid 30s, and we're just like, I just can't find anyone, like not really finding anyone. And so I wonder if part of that is also we're maybe not giving people a chance that could potentially be really great partners for us because of these feelings. So maybe we go on a first date, there's no spark, and we're waiting for this spark, or we're waiting for this, you know. And something I started diving into was like, is the spark necessary? Is the spark telling of really anything, you know, or is it just your nervous system maybe like alerting you to maybe someone who's not great, you know? So it's like, I wonder if we are impeding ourselves from finding great matches. And maybe, again, it's not going to be every single nice guy that we meet. It's not going to be every, and I'm totally glad you said that, because it's very true. Because there's so much more. There's values. There's, do we feel like we want the same future? You know, there's so much more than just them showing up. And that's like bare minimum. They show up and they're there and they're great and they're sweet and they're nice. But there's a slew of other things we have to look at, you know, for potential partners. But yeah, I just, I've been pondering this a lot. Like, I've really been thinking through, like, because I think we go into dates and we want the feeling. We want this feeling, right? Feelings are fleeting a lot of the time, and they're not going to last. And I'm talking if you're wanting a marriage, a long term. I want to get married. I want to be with someone for a long period of time. Like, I'm not talking about just long term dating, right? Like, you're looking for a partner, your life partner. It's like those feelings are not going to be there forever. Like the this excitement and, you know, that's going to transform and become something else. So I've been thinking a lot about that. Like, when we go on first dates and there's like, maybe it's a great match, but there's no like crazy spark, or there's no, you know, it's like, are we cutting things off too early because of that, you know? And what does a spark even mean? What is that? Is that worth, you know, like, if there is no spark, is it worth cutting off? Like, what are those feelings that we're looking for? Because I feel like what we're trying to do is we're trying to chase feelings that generally are associated with something that might be unhealthy for us, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I think about my most toxic relationship that I was in a couple years ago. It was the most exciting relationship. It was also the worst, right? But it was so exhilarating, and like the highs of highs were amazing, with the lows were awful, right? And I was going through this like this roller coaster with this person, and of course those feelings were so
roller coasters are exciting.
It totally exciting. But right? Do you want to be on that forever? It's like, do you want to be? This is a good example. It's like, you're, do you want to be on a roller coaster, or do you want to be on like, what is it in Tiny Town or whatever at Disney, where you're just like strolling through and you're seeing all the things at a slow pace? Like, you know, it's like, that's not going to be exhilarating, but that's going to build longevity, you know? And so I don't know. This is like, I'm kind of maybe probably all over the place right now talking, but this is just something I've been like really pondering, because I think.
No, I think it's a good question. Right. And it's like, this like question of spark. And I have a lot of thoughts on this, and a lot, I will say, like, a lot of my thoughts, this is like personal, this is like, a lot of this is like personal beliefs. I do think there is a lot of wisdom in the body. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you are like, and it's subtle, right? I think if you are like drawn to somebody, you're like, there's something about you, I want to be closer to you. Mm-hmm. And there's just, I think that's so important. And if for whatever reason, there's like, you're with someone and it just feels like there's like, your body is being repelled by them, I think that's like important information. I do think that's a sign. Right? I do think there needs to be like a baseline, like, I'm drawn to you in some kind of way. I'm not talking about sparks. And that's another, I think, differentiation to make, is like, this isn't a dichotomy. We're not talking about like, no feeling, like, I'm sitting next to you at dinner, I've got no feelings in my body, like, there's like nothing happening here. The thought of me like putting my face against your face is like, ugh. I literally recoil when I think of that. Like, so there's that.
Yes.
And then there's like this like insane, oh my God, our bodies are like magnets and I just need to be those are the extremes. And like, okay, what about something in the middle? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe like that is like all of the nuance between like quote unquote boring and super exciting. What about like, what are some different adjectives we could like put in there? You know, I think like consistency, safety, mm-hmm. right? Like, that doesn't sound boring to me, but like, I think we need more languaging around this, because when we talk about boring, like, we might be using that as synonymous with like consistent and safe. And to me, those are very different things, right? There's like sitting on a beach and just like being like really calm and peaceful. Mm-hmm. That feels, we would never say that's like boring, but there's a feeling of like peace and calm and like just like tranquility that comes with that. And so I think like the question we should all ask ourselves is like, how do I want to feel in a long-term relationship from day to day? Do I want to feel like my stomach isn't a washing machine and it's just like, I never know what to expect? Or do I want it to feel like very, just like homey and comfortable?
Yeah.
You know, boring. Who wants to be in a relationship where it feels boring? Like,
yeah.
And the difference between like sitting in a cardboard box, staring at the same thing all the time, and like sitting on a serene beach, like, I want to feel calm. I don't want to feel bored.
Yeah. And I think sometimes those can get confused, because I think what I'm seeing more and recognizing more is sometimes safe, calm, just consistent. For, let's say, if you're used to the roller coaster, right? you get off the roller coaster and your body's like, wait a second. And you go on this slow ride. You're like, this is not, I'm bored. I want the excitement, you know? And I think sometimes those can kind of get convoluted. Yeah. They can get a little bit mixed up because of that. I think because we're not getting these hits and highs, and because it is so steady, I think sometimes it can feel boring. It doesn't necessarily mean it is boring, you know? It's like someone who maybe is, let's say, like super active, always wants to be out, can't ever sit down and lay down. They might go to the beach and not enjoy the sun and just lay there, because to them, they're 10 minutes in, they're like, well, I'm bored. I want to go do something, you know? So it's like,
yeah. And for me, like, they would use a different adjective just to describe how they want to feel in a relationship.
Yeah.
And like, that's fine, right? It's just, it's kind of just like identifying who do you want to be in a relationship? How do you want to feel? What side of you do they bring out? And then just kind of empirically deciding, like going on different dates with different people and just noticing how you feel after that.
Yeah. And I think that's, that's really great.
Yeah. And like, just like you said, like developing a more nuanced language around this. Mm-hmm. If you're constantly saying you're bored, like let's dive into like what bored means. It's like how a lot of people might say like, oh, I'm just tired. But if they really like dig deeper, it's like, oh, maybe I'm sad. Maybe I'm overwhelmed, right? Like there's sometimes like bored is just like a blanket statement for with like a whole rich like just series of descriptions underneath that. So dig in. What do you mean by bored? And so maybe in a case, if you're like, oh, I'm bored, and you really kind of like drill down into what that is, you might go through a few layers and then realize that you're hitting, oh, I'm actually not bored. I'm scared of intimacy, right? Like whatever. Mm. So just like really peeling back, like what do we mean when we say bored?
I think that's so, so key because I think, and that's something I recently have done, was starting to think like why, or like just getting more curious about the why behind maybe how you're feeling versus just acting on the feeling. And I think that that's so key, like drilling it down, because you may not be bored, you may actually just be scared, or you maybe fears in this or things like that. And so I think that's so key. And I think something you said earlier that I want to point out too is when we go on dates, I think asking ourselves, wait, how do I feel on this date? I think sometimes we get so caught up on
with them, well, on and what them. They're like and what their qualities are.
Yes. And
are they funny? Are they not funny? All these things.
Yes. And also trying to put on like, okay, I'm, you know, like you're trying to win them over. Like, right? I think we go on dates and we send our representatives and we want to win them over, but we're not actually taking time to just soak in like, do I actually enjoy myself with this person? Am I excited? How's the conversation? How am I feeling? Am I anxious? Am I nervous? Like, how is this going? And I feel like that's something I'm like, we spend so much time trying to get someone to choose us, trying to get someone to pick us, to, you know, that we don't spend enough time actually asking ourselves, well, how do I feel? How do they make me feel? You know? And so I think I love that you said that, because I think that's so important. As we do go on dates, as we do meet new people, I think being able to be aware in that moment, you know? And I think that also comes down to like taking time and being aware in the moment, but also just thinking about that moment. Like, I think we go on dates and we're like, oh my God, is this the one? Like so early, and we're like, whoa, like don't go so far ahead. Yeah. And so I think that that's so good, like checking in with yourself, whether you're on a first date or whether you're maybe 5 or 6 dates in, you know, like check in with yourself and really what am I feeling? Is this going anywhere? How am I feeling about this? You know, and how do they make me feel? How do I feel when I'm around them? Do I want to be around them? Are they exciting? Is there like some, like you said, like, is there some draw to this person? So I love that you pointed that out.
And I think there's like layers to that. And I think like you said, maybe like the first layer when you go on a date is all I'm focused on is I want them to like me. I want to like say I want them to think I'm funny and smart and good company. And right. So all of the focus is like on what they think about you. Yeah. And then I think the next layer is like, oh yeah, like I actually also have to pick this person. Mm-hmm. Don't forget that. Right. So it's like you're kind of just evaluating that person. And I think that's another layer of like, okay, like let me evaluate their job and how, you know, all of these things, like, are they attractive? And then I think like if you go even a step further with that, I think what's really helpful, like a really helpful place to land, is how do I feel when I'm with them? Mm-hmm. You know, am I curious about them? Do they make me laugh? Do I feel heard? Do I feel safe to share things with them?
Yeah.
And those are some of like the pieces of like true long-term intimacy, right? Because we're not marrying someone's jobs. Their jobs can change.
Yeah.
You know, like if you choose someone for their attractiveness level, that can change. And also we adapt to it. You know, mm-hmm. you can be married to somebody like Brad Pitt. And then in a year, it's like Brad Pitt's always around. He's just another guy. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's just like paying attention to some of these like long-term things about what actually, like, what are the elements of like happiness in a relationship? You know, like feeling like there's like a sense of kindness there is super important. Mm-hmm. Feeling heard, feeling like you can just like, deal with like good times and hard times with this person.
Yeah.
And of course you don't learn that on the first date, but you gather that information over time.
Yeah, exactly. I think that all that builds, like, you know, sure, some people may like know on first date, which I'm like, I don't know if you knew on your first date, but sure. But I think all that.
I think some people who say that and it works out, I think they just got lucky.
Yeah, honestly, like they just, right? Yeah.
Like they thought it was like really going to work out. And then it just so happened that the more they learned about each other, it does work out. And like, that's amazing. But yeah, I don't think you can't really know on a first date.
No. And I think, yeah, don't put pressure on yourself to know. Because I was talking to a friend recently and he was like, I'm just so like stressed out with dating. He's like, I'm dating all these great, a couple people and they're all really nice. But like beyond that, I don't know how to like, I'm kind of don't know more than that. And I was like, well, you've only been on one date with all of them. Like, you're not going to know based on one date. Like, you kind of have to let that build over time. Who do you want to spend more time with? Who are you more drawn to? Is kind of my advice to him. And he's like, you're right. I'm thinking way too ahead. You know, I think we get way too ahead of ourselves. But I think that's my encouragement is like with what I've been thinking and pondering is, you know, don't maybe knock someone right away because you don't feel a spark or because you don't feel this like crazy chemistry. And I think sometimes that's what we're looking for. And I don't always think that's what we should be looking for, you know? And I think sometimes mm-hmm. we pass up really great people because of that. You know, so.
Yeah. Well, and like something else about that, like spark or chemistry is that we put this like high priority on it. And mm-hmm. actually it's not all that hard to attain. Like there's actually things you can do in your environment, in your interactions to also manipulate that chemistry, for lack of a better word, mm-hmm. you know, like, and it's like scientifically proven, like if you do something like that causes a lot of emotion or like adrenaline rush on a date, that it will make you feel closer. So like theoretically, if you choose to go bungee jumping with somebody, you're probably going to feel more of a spark than if you choose to like get coffee or something. So also just like keeping that in mind, like our environment plays a role. Are you going on like a lunch date and not feeling a spark versus maybe if you went to an Italian restaurant and there's candlelight and music and you're dressed up, like, you're probably going to feel more of a spark. And so that goes for like early dating. And it also goes for like in a relationship that like, if you are like, just kind of like at this point where you're just like doing life and it feels like you're just like roommates and all you're concerned about is like doing the household chores, like, of course you're not going to look at this. You're going to look at this person and just be like, wow, this seems more of just like a friend or a partner. But that spark, it needs to be like intentionally created and the environment for that spark to come out and that chemistry to come out needs to be there, because otherwise we kind of just like go to this place of like, you know, neutrality. And so keeping in mind the spark doesn't just happen, and it's not even that special. Like you could walk into a bar and lock eyes with a stranger and like, oh, I feel this really big spark, right? But that could happen with so many people. And I think the beauty of it is finding ways to keep that spark alive. And then when you have that, when it's like on the foundation of something, that there's like a loving, trusting relationship with somebody who really knows you, and then you add the spark on top of that, it's like, wow, that's really special.
I love that. And I I never even really considered the environment, you know? So I think that that's so special. And then, you know, that makes me just think into, like, when you've been married for 5 years, right? And you're like, oh, the spark is gone or this is gone. And I think that that's so special what you said, because I think it's intentional. It's something we have to create, you know, and continue to create and foster, because it isn't just going to happen, you know? So if it doesn't happen on your first or second date, it doesn't mean this person isn't maybe a good match for you, you know? I love that.
Well, you can change it. And like, this isn't what this podcast is about, but even like, there's like tantra exercises you could do that if you're like, I want to create the spark, there's almost like, there's like a science and there's like a step-by-step way to do that. And that's why I say like that base, you need to have some kind of baseline attraction with somebody. That's what I think. It needs to be like something more than nothing there. But if you had that, and especially if you had that originally, and then you apply this like science of attraction on top of that, it's easy to create that. You know, for an example, like if you just decide to like sit across from your partner and just make eye contact for an extended period, and you don't allow yourself to touch each other, like you can almost feel like an energy coming into that space.
That's so interesting.
That can be very erotic.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. So then why do, now we're going to get more into it. Why do we like toxic? Why do we stay in toxic? Why is toxic so exhilarating for those of us who have experienced it?
Well, it's like what you said. I think like the definition of toxic is like there's high highs and low lows, you know, and it really does feel like this like ride. There's like these like hits of dopamine that maybe make you feel really good. And especially because it's like the juxtaposition with feeling really bad. I think that contrast also like highlights those feelings too and makes them seem more extreme. And it's like you feel a lot, right?
Yeah.
Especially if like there's like all of these like a rush of like feel good chemicals, and then you feel so bad, and then this person is like the thing that makes you feel good. And so, right, you're just kind of like on this ride of, it's a lot of feeling. And it, especially maybe if you like, if it feels good to feel a lot, and like those highs become, I don't know, like it can become this like cycle or pattern that's like hard to break.
Yeah, it could become, I mean, it's essentially a drug in a way. The highs become this thing that you chase, that you want, that you crave. And like you said, the highs feel probably even more extreme and high because the lows are so low. So it's like a little dopamine hit every time you get that high, you know. And it gets really hard to get out of that cycle, because when you do get the high, and this goes back to even like people, someone breadcrumbing you, being in situationships that we continue to stay in for way longer than we should. I think it all tells kind of a similar story of, it's like we get hit with that little bit of dopamine, and that keeps us hooked, that keeps us in. We're like, oh, but look, he finally did XYZ,
and
you
then,
know.
And that person is then the like cure for getting you out of that low place.
Yep.
Even though they're the one putting you in that low place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's – it's – I want to talk about it because I see this happen so much. We say we want one thing, but then we're in relationship with a complete opposite of what we say we want. Mm-hmm. And we're not really – like we're not – what's the word I'm looking for? Like committed, right? Committed. And I'm saying this is like the things that you want, like not being like, he must hike, or like, I don't know, whatever. Not like trivial thing, but like maybe you're like your top five like core values, right? The things that you really are looking for in someone. Like I'm talking like the big important things, like you say that you are committed to and really want, but then we date the complete opposite. So it's like I want to bring light to this, because sometimes we are in things that are just opposite of what we want because we're in cycles that we need to find a way to break, because they're not what we actually want. But we think that maybe potential future, but he makes me feel good, but makes me feel really bad, you know? And it's like, I don't know. I think that that's like why I want to bring light to it and talk to it, because I want to juxtapose these two things where it's like, when you have that, healthy can feel boring. Healthy will feel a little weird. Healthy will feel opposite to maybe what you had been used to, you know? And so I think putting those two side by side and understanding, well, why am I stuck in this cycle? Why do I keep going back to this? Why is this, why is it so hard to get myself out of this, you know, versus I get healthy and then I'm like, oh, I don't know, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when we're used to like these things making us feel really good. But in our like wise minds, we know that these aren't the things that are really going to give us long-term happiness in a relationship. There's like this like period of doing something different.
Yeah.
That feels really unnatural and can feel really hard. And it feels unfamiliar. And so it doesn't feel good because it's like, it's not our natural inclination or choice to go that way. And the more that we're able to kind of like allow our bodies to like adjust, because again, like, it's like, what do we learn that love means? Like, how do we experience love? Is it like with this set of things? And so I'm trying to learn how to be more attracted to this set of things. So that means two things. Like, I have to allow myself like this period of adjustment for it to maybe feel a little wonky, a little clunky, until it kind of becomes my new familiar. And it's about also like internally making different choices than you have made before. And so if like in the past you felt like somebody was available and consistent and you quote unquote got the ick and decided to leave, it's like, it's just like making a new choice. Right? Like, I'm gonna do the opposite. I'm gonna choose to stay given, you know, everything else like makes sense. It's just like making new choices. And it's at the end of the day, like, if we're going to change patterns, we have to change our behaviors. And that comes through like maybe making different choices than we've made in the past that haven't got us to the place that we wanted to go. You know, so if like leaving has, where has that gotten me? Where do I want to go? I want to be in a healthy relationship. Okay. I need to choose something. I need to choose a behavior and a pattern that is going to ultimately get me a step closer to where I know that I want to be.
Yes, absolutely. I think, and that's when we start taking responsibility for our dating lives and what we say that we want, you know, like, is really doing that and really understanding what that looks like, you know, when you get to that point, when you get to, no, this is what I really want. And now I need to understand, what will it take of me to get that and to keep that, not just to get it, but to really understand, to keep it, to be in a healthy relationship, to have the things that we really want. I think it requires more of us than I think that we realize.
Yeah. You know, sometimes it requires like a, just like a bursting of that fantasy bubble of what you thought love would look like. And then just like coming back down to earth and being like, this is what love actually looks like. Sometimes it's boring. Sometimes it's this. Sometimes it's not fun, right? And so, but this is actually like mature adult love.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to choose that. You know, I think I've heard this before. It's like love is not just a noun. It's also a verb. It's just like continual choosing.
It's a choice. It's absolutely a choice. And I was talking about this earlier. I was listening to a Jay Shetty episode. I don't really listen to him often, but he had Esther Perel on, and she's just a firecracker, and I love her. But she said something so profound, and I wrote it down, and she said, with choice comes loss and grief. And it's something you would never think about, but just what you said, like bursting that bubble, I think sometimes we get to a point where we have to, at some point, choose. It's not just endless options out there in dating, right? There is a choice that has to be made if we so choose and would like to have a future with someone. But with that choice, we also have to – there's a loss of this fantasy love that maybe we had in our head, right? That we've built based off Hollywood movies, books we've read, you know, these like romantic love stories that aren't really that real, you know? And so I thought that was so profound, and I'm still reeling from it. Of just realizing, like, yes, when you choose someone, right? And the same thing goes when you choose to stay in a relationship or when you choose to go and maybe end a relationship. Every choice comes a loss, right? So it's like when you do choose someone, you lose You have to grieve your singleness. You have to grieve maybe a love story that you thought was real but really is not real. You have to grieve what you thought it was going to look like, you know? And I think that that's so, like, we don't do that when we make choices. Like, we don't think about that. And then we ponder, like, oh, what if, you know? Instead of really taking the time and, like, I know that for me, I think grieving singleness is going to be a thing. Like, you know, I've enjoyed my singleness. That's I love so my single true. Life. I've never really felt like, oh, like, I want to be in a relationship. Like, I want a partner, and I'm excited for that. But I'm like, oh, there's going to be some grieving in that. I think that's totally okay. But I think, yeah, like, as we make that choice to, you know, to choose healthy love, to choose the things that we want, we have to be cognizant of there will be some form of loss. We will feel like there will be some loss of the potential options that we could have had that we don't know, because it's uncertainty. We're looking at a future. It's all uncertain. But I just thought that that was so profound.
That's so good. And like, yes, when we're choosing depth with one person, we're giving up breath of all the other experiences.
Yes.
Of like all the other possibilities of what could happen or who you might meet down the road, right? Like you're choosing this commitment. And also you're choosing, like, when you're choosing to be in a relationship, your time isn't 100% your own. You're choosing compromise. You're choosing, right? Like maybe like a loss of like alone time or like something that's got, it's going to change. And there's, I think, such a good point to realize there's always some kind of loss associated with change, even positive change.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, and the loss and the grief isn't because the change was negative or the choice was negative, you know? But I think that's such an important part of kind of entering relationship, of choosing someone.
And as much as you're like, I also think it's important, like if you're going to focus on like what you're losing, to also spend some like an equal amount of time thinking about like but what's also gained in that.
Exactly.
Right. And so just like holding space for both of those.
Yep. Oh, I love that so much. Well, as we wrap up, what would you leave someone who is in the dating world navigating if they're like, hey, look, I want something healthy. I really want that in my life. Like, and I'm just not finding it. I don't feel like I'm finding it, right? It's just it feels difficult to look for and find. What would you tell someone like that?
Yeah. Well, I would normalize it. And again, like a potential life partner for you is not around every corner. Mm-hmm. And so just to like validate that is rare, it's special, it's hard to find. And just to give yourself grace as you're going through this process, because it's not easy. And then to also just like ask yourself, like, what are the things that you're doing too that are maybe helping or hurting you finding that? And so there's only so much you can do. So to have, not to have someone take over too much responsibility, but like, what kind of choices are you making in dating? Are you always going for the same type of guy? Are you excluding like a huge pool of people who actually might make you really happy? Mm-hmm. And so to approach dating with more of like a experimental approach rather than just assuming like you know exactly what you want, to date a variety of people and allow yourself to really discover what actually makes you happy.
I think
maybe it's
so
different
perfect.
Than what you thought it would be.
Yeah. And it most likely will be. The more you explore and the more people you interact with, you might realize that, you know, maybe what you thought was super important may not actually be that important to you. So, And I think just to add to that, I think, you know, looking at what are the qualities that you're looking for in someone and what are the qualities you think that person's looking for in a potential you, you know? And I think time spent improving those, working on yourself, I think it's never time wasted. So as you're going through the dating world, you know, and maybe you're frustrated or whatnot, it's there's so much work you can still be doing on yourself while you're in that process, while you're meeting new people, you know? So that when that person does show up and you're excited to share that life with them, you know, you're a better version of yourself also. So
yeah,
I love that.
Absolutely. I think that's great advice.
Okay, well, Alexia, thank you so much. Our time here is up. If you want to share a little bit about, I know we did in the last podcast episode, but if you want to share a little bit about how people, they love to work with you or how they can kind of get in contact with you.
Yeah. For those folks on Instagram, I'm on Instagram, so feel free to connect with me there, Dr. Alexia H. Or I also have my website, livewellpsychologygroup.com. So awesome. Either way.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, we'll definitely add those in the show notes. So you can definitely, because she's fantastic. Like, if we weren't friends, I'd want you to be my therapist. But I think she's amazing. So if you guys are looking for someone to kind of walk through life with you and really help you in these different areas, she comes highly recommended. So thank you so much. And
I hope some of those things were helpful to people listening to you. And yeah, this is it's a hard thing, but it's like, we're with you.
Yes. And this is growth. This is the part of growth that maybe we don't talk about as much as like the, oh, like I got to start making better decisions, you know? So it's, I think all of that, really looking at our own patterns, looking at ourselves, how am I causing the situation that I'm in, right? Instead of blaming everything around us, really also looking at what are the things maybe I'm contributing that I don't, you know, I don't know if sometimes we ask enough of that. So, but also give yourself grace. So don't be too hard on yourself. But thank you so much.
Balance, right?
Honestly, it's a balance. It really is. But if you guys love listening to this podcast, I would appreciate if you guys could leave a review. That helps me out a ton. And please follow as well if you guys are listening to this weekly. Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.